There we go.
Oh, why? He wasn't on that time?
No.
I believe this. It's impossible. Okay. Anyway, so the topic for tonight is what is the best life for man? Okay? General, pretty generic. Okay? So I think before we try to answer this question, right, we have to clarify what do we mean when we say the best life for man. Okay, what does that statement mean? Okay, does anybody want to offer a suggestion? Okay, fortunately I've come equipped with a possibility. Okay, so I say that we have to define that the best life for man is the life of greatest enjoyment, okay? Which would mean that the worst life for man is the life of the greatest pain, okay? So how does that hit you?
What's the motivation for that answer?
What's the motivation for that answer? Well, I would say a lack of any other answer, to be honest. Right? In other words, if a person were to ask you, right, what is something that you could imagine would be good for man? What would be beneficial for man? I think any answer that you would give would have to somehow or other boil down to some kind of enjoyment. Okay? So I don't think a person could envision any kind of benefit or good that did not fit into the idea of enjoyment. And I think that anything that if a person were to envision something evil or harmful for man, I think it would always involve some kind of pain. Okay? So I think that's the motivation, because simply that's the only thing we know. Okay, that is what drives a person, whether he likes it or not. What drives a person is the desire for enjoyment, for happiness. And what prevents a person from doing things is the fear of pain or misery. Okay, so that really is the major motivating factor in every person's life. Okay, so I think that's the only way we could define the best life for man. That life which has the greatest possible enjoyment. Okay, I mean, I know it sounds very, what's the term, that philosophical term? What's that? Hedonistic, yes. I remember when I was in high school and I first heard this argument, you know, of course, naturally, I ran around to everybody I could find telling them this thing. And I was immediately, you know, accused of being a tremendous hedonist and horrible philosophy. But, so I don't know if you should, you know, be so enthusiastic to spread this around. But, I mean, I think if you think about it, you will see that that is the only thing that really a person strives for is enjoyment and happiness. Okay, so I think that we have to accept that, and now we should align ourselves accordingly. Okay, so therefore, if a person wants to know what is the best life, he's really asking, what life could I have that would be the most enjoyable possible? Okay, so if that's agreed upon, okay, by everybody present, I think the question now becomes, what activity could a man pursue that would give him the greatest enjoyment? Okay? Which means, basically, what we're asking is, insofar as a man is capable of choosing, okay, insofar as he has the capability to choose any enjoyment that exists for a human being, okay, is there one enjoyment that we can say objectively is the greatest enjoyment? Okay, insofar as a person is capable of choosing any enjoyment. Okay? So, I think to approach this, okay, we have to have some kind of method. And I think that the method that we have to find is we have to have some way of determining objective factors in enjoyment. In the area of enjoyment, we have to isolate and find, discover objective factors, okay, that determine enjoyment. And if we can do that, then we can have some objective system that we can evaluate and assess and compare enjoyments and determine which enjoyments objectively are greater and which are not as great. Okay? But I think if we don't have any objective factors, then it's simply, well, you enjoy your thing, I enjoy my thing. I mean, how do we know? How can we possibly even take up the question, who has greater enjoyment? You'll claim, well, your thing is the greatest enjoyment in the world, and I'm going to claim likewise to my thing. Okay? So the only thing that we could use to put some kind of framework on this is if we could determine, we could find some objective factor. Then every statement that you make has to conform to some objective formula. Okay? So are there any objective factors that you could think of that would be something that we could assess an enjoyment with?
Pleasure.
Pleasure. Okay. Okay. But let me ask you this. Is pleasure just another word for enjoyment? Right?
I thought it wasn't.
Well, okay. But in other words, I'll say to you like this. That with pleasure, we're going to have the same kind of difficulty because you're going to claim that you get pleasure out of playing basketball to a tremendous degree. And I just don't appreciate basketball, but if I knew the pleasure you got, you could show me that that's the most pleasurable thing that any man could engage in. And I'm going to counter you by saying, no, I think eating ice cream is a greater pleasure, and for me, that is the greatest possible pleasure. And you have no way of relating to it, so there's nothing to talk about. Okay? So if we stick with pleasure, we're going to be sort of stuck. Okay? So we have to find something that's objective. Okay? So I say one objective factor that we can choose is time. Okay? In other words, if I'll ask you, let's say we have two pleasures that are equal. Two equal pleasures. And one you can engage in for 1 hour, 1 hour a day, okay? And the other allows you to engage in it for 10 hours a day. So which would be a greater enjoyment? Okay?
One can do for 12 hours a day.
Okay, there is a man. There is a guy who has his head on straight. That's it, right? Okay, given that the enjoyments are equal, right? So if one enjoyment a person could partake in a longer amount of time, so that's an objective factor. So nobody can argue that, no, we should do the 1 hour. That would be an impossibility. Okay, the only thing they could argue is, well, that enjoyment is not as good. Okay, fine. We're not disputing that. But we're saying, given that I have two enjoyments that are equal, right, then every person would have to agree that the 10-hour enjoyment is superior to the 1 hour. Okay? So now already we have some kind of objective criteria. Okay? So now, let's take a look and see if we can utilize that simple, I mean, it's a pretty simplistic idea, but it may be very useful. Let's see if we could utilize that to our benefit, okay? So let's take the enjoyments, and let's just momentarily split them into two categories, okay? Let's say one category of enjoyment are things that are physical enjoyments. And the other category, let's say, are mental. Mental enjoyments. Two categories of enjoyments. One physical and one mental. Okay? Physical enjoyment. I'll give you an example. Tennis. I mean, you don't have to look too far. Swimming. Eating. Most of the things that come to your mind in the first second, they're physical enjoyments. Okay? Mental. Thinking. Right? The list is pretty short, but okay. Right? Okay, so we have two categories. Regardless of how many things are in the categories, they are clearly two distinct categories. Okay. So let's see if this categorization helps us at all. If we could utilize this together with our time factor. Okay. So let's take a look at a physical enjoyment. Let's say tennis. Okay? Person enjoys playing tennis. Okay. Now the thing is, tennis is an enjoyment since it's physical, right? So the activity naturally is contingent on the external world. What do I mean? In order to play tennis, a person has to first have a tennis racket. He has to have the tennis balls. And I'm just giving a generic case. He has to drive to the tennis court. Once he gets there, he has to make sure he has the person to play with. Also, he has to make sure the tennis court is available. There's an open court. Okay, once he starts playing, he needs certain weather conditions. If it starts raining, that's going to put a severe limitation on his game. Okay, so you can see that the activity, since it's contingent on the conditions, you need the conditions in the external world are necessary to engage in the activity. So he is now dependent on those conditions. Okay, and any one of those conditions can prevent him from accomplishing his task, from playing tennis. Okay, so therefore, this enjoyment, if I were to ask you, this enjoyment, by its very nature, has to be limited time-wise. Because it means, if I have 2 hours that I have free that I want to play tennis, inherently I'm not going to be able to play for 2 hours, no matter what I do, because I've got to get the tennis racket, I've got to drive to the tennis court, and if it rains, the whole game is off. Okay? So therefore, inherent in the activity is a time limitation, okay, because it's contingent on the external world. And because the man has to establish those conditions in the external world, everything, every enjoyment, every activity that he does is dependent on that. Okay, and if any of he's limited by those conditions. Okay? Person wants to go swimming. He has certain limitations. He has to go to the beach. It has to be during the day. It has to be a nice day. Okay? Each one of those things limits the amount of time the man can do the activity. Okay? Maybe on one day he'll be able to be at the beach all day. Some days, not all day. Certainly never at night. Okay? Each one of those conditions limits the time factor that he can engage in that pleasure. Okay? And you could apply it really to any activity that depends on external conditions. Any activity in the physical world, the same rule will apply. A person wants to enjoy eating. Okay, he has to be hungry. He needs a certain internal state. If he's not hungry, he's not going to enjoy the food. He needs the food. And then once he starts eating, he has the pleasure for around a half hour until he gets filled. That's it. Okay? So he needs certain external conditions. They limit his ability to enjoy the activity. Okay? They limit the extent of the activity. Okay, so I think virtually any activity you choose, I mean, some may be more, some less, but there's no activity that occurs in the physical world that doesn't have this principle. Okay, so that means that any enjoyment that I partake of in the physical world has to be limited quantitatively. The amount of time he could do must be limited. Okay. Okay. Now, what about thinking? Okay, does thinking have a similar limitation? Person wants enjoy and wants enjoy thought. Does that limitation that we just described, does that exist when it comes to the mental? Yeah.
Well, it seems so. You need to be in a certain state of mind. You need to have a certain developed mind in order to have a certain type of thought that would be enjoyable. Your physical needs have to be taken care of.
Okay.
Be sick.
Okay. So let's take that. Person, you get.
What about also, we get, talking about like external, as in the pleasure, or the thing is an external thing, either a physical or a mental or something. But what about like the relationship between the person and how they relate to it? Like there's a certain appreciation, which of course what everyone will have. Because the fact that I appreciate basketball, or I appreciate golf, and then there's different things. But we seem to be kind of just ignoring that and just like saying, okay, it's something, but that's going to play no matter what. As a general principle, that's going to play a cost in that.
Right, so that we have to ignore because, you see, that's a subjective factor. So the only thing we could say is that we can compare these things in an objective way, and the only thing we could say is that assuming that you are able to appreciate any activity that we're discussing, assuming you're able to appreciate them and enjoy them equally, which one should you choose? That's what we're trying to determine. Now, if there's a person that simply doesn't enjoy tennis, or doesn't enjoy thought, or doesn't enjoy anything except for one activity, then you're right. I mean, the argument's not going to have too much value for him because he's not free to choose. We're assuming that a person is free to choose and he could equally enjoy anything. Then the question is, which should he pick? That's what we're trying to determine.
But you can have two things depending on his mindset or something. One will just massively overpower the other one.
That's right.
Even if it's objective.
That's right. That's right. So therefore, he has to take the argument and evaluate for himself. Like, let's say there's a person that loves tennis so much that for him, 1 hour a day, he's satisfied. He's in bliss the whole day. So if there's a person like that, I say that he has to take that in consideration. You see, if that's the only thing he can enjoy and that satisfies him totally, then perhaps for that person, he'll choose that. You see, but we can't, in other words, then you see, in other words, we can't look at each person. We have to give a general rule. And now you have to take this, knowledge is always universal. So we have to pick what is universal here. You see, now take the universals and apply it to yourself. That's always the rule. Let's say in medicine. Medicine doesn't discuss each individual person. Let's say there's a person that has a certain constitution that for him, taking a certain medicine would be the worst thing in the world, no matter what. Okay, so he shouldn't take it, you see. But that doesn't stop us from investigating and find out what universally is the correct medication for a headache. Okay, now if you have the ability to tolerate that medication, you have to take it. If you can't, okay, so then that's an individual case. So the same thing here. We want to know, objectively, if you have the ability to choose between any pleasures, which one would be the greatest? Okay? Okay, so now getting back to your thing, right? So you're asking that thought... Okay, so let's just see for a second. Okay, so what I'm saying now, when it comes to thought, what I'm saying is that the enjoyment of thought is not contingent on anything external. In other words, I don't need to be in any particular place to enjoy thinking. I don't need to be, it doesn't have to be any time I can do it. I'm not limited to any time. I'm not limited to a place. I don't need any tools, really. Like right now. Yeah, yeah.
Does the place need to be conducive? Like if there's distraction or something like that?
Okay, so let me get to that. Okay? I'm just saying, right? Like right now, we don't have any... books, we don't need books, there's no tools, there's no particular, we could carry on this conversation outside, theoretically, anywhere, okay? There is nothing in the physical situation that we need. We don't need the chairs. We could be sitting on the floor, we could be standing. You see, the activity is really mental. It's a mental activity, it's an internal activity. So therefore, it's not contingent on anything outside of the person, okay? So let's take, right, but do you see the point? The point is that if you have an activity that occurs in the physical world, it's contingent on the physical world. You can't play tennis without a racket, not because it's not convenient, it's because that's part of the essence. A person cannot play tennis without the racket. The racket's part of the essence, you see. You might say that in order to learn well, I have to be in a base medrash. That may be very true, you see. But not for the same reason as the tennis. I may need to be in a base medrash because in my frame of mind, this helps me get into the right frame of mind of learning. You see, that's for me. But intrinsically, inherent in the activity, there's nothing in the base medrash that adds to the activity. I could do the exact same activity at home. Now, there may be a lot of noise at home. So if noise bothers me, I can't do it then. You see, but with tennis, I need the racket not because without the racket I'm bothered. It's without the racket there is no such thing as tennis. You see? Now, if I'm in a noisy room that I'm bothered and it's hard for me to learn, it's not because learning is an impossibility. It's because it bothers me. But let's say you had a person that was totally oblivious. He wouldn't care about the noise. You see? So inherent in the activity, there's nothing that's required in the outside world for me to do that activity. You see? Now let's say, for instance, I'm learning, a guy comes up to me with a gun, holds a gun to my head. He's obviously, the person's going to distract me. You see? We're not talking about that. We're not saying that learning is something that there's no way to interfere with. You see, that's not what we're trying to say. We're not trying to say it's an activity where you become somehow invulnerable. There's no way a guy could interfere with you learning. Obviously, God can interfere with you learning, come over to you and bother you, you see? But that's not what we're trying to say, you see, because obviously, if a person's playing tennis, that's true by anything, any activity. If I'm playing tennis, a guy comes over and starts points a gun in my head, I mean, I'm not going to be able to play. You see? So a person could interfere with any activity. We're human. You know? But what we're saying is, not could somebody interfere with me, but do I need a specific condition to learn? You see? Do I need a specific condition? That I don't need. I don't need a tennis court. I don't need a tennis racket. I don't need any type of weather. It is true, if I'm sitting in a building and the building starts to catches on fire, obviously it's going to be a distraction. I'm not going to be able to learn. You know what I mean? But that is not what we're talking about. Do you see the difference?
What is it?
That's not something inherent in learning. That's something came in and stopped me. Okay, God can stop me from learning. That's not inherent in learning. Yeah.
I don't understand why. I agree with that distinction, but it could be that there are certain things, let's say the enjoyment of lifting weights.
Yeah.
So yes, it's inherently the activity is dependent on something outside of you. You need the weights to lift them, you need a room to lift them in.
That's right.
But in our world, it's pretty easy to have that. So it's not, in reality, it's not really limited. So even though in abstract, it is dependent on something outside of you, but it's not really a pleasure that's going to be limited.
Okay. Okay, so let's get to that. But meanwhile, let's establish the first point. So the first point is, it's contingent on certain conditions. Okay? If I don't have those conditions, I can't do the activity. Okay? By learning, I don't need any conditions. Now, you asked the question, well, doesn't the person have to go to a Rebbe and develop himself so that he knows how to learn? Right? Doesn't he have to be in a certain frame of mind? I mean, if the person's in a crazy frame of mind, can't learn. He needs skill. He needs a certain skill. You see? That's true. You see? But maybe somebody could answer that question. Why is that not a question? In other words, he's saying like this. I'm saying learning is not dependent on anything, on any outside conditions. Right? So he's asking, well, one second. Could a guy, day one, just sit down and start learning? Doesn't he have to go to a shir and develop his mind so that he can become, have an expertise? So isn't that a condition that's necessary for the person to be able to learn? Yeah.
When you say the whole thing, like the whole development, it involves learning. So it's like it's inherent in getting there is still learning. So it's all...
Okay.
The minute you start, you're learning. It's not like you have to work to get to learning.
Okay.
To like get to a certain point to learn better, to learn differently. But you're the whole time you're engaged in the same activity.
That's good. That's good. I mean, I was thinking about a different answer, but I think that makes sense. Yeah.
That's not the enjoyment itself. We want to study which enjoyment is a better enjoyment.
That's
so
right.
The development is not in consideration. Once you're developed...
That's right. That's right. We're saying, in other words, we're not saying, let's say, a tennis player. We're not saying, well, tennis is not a good enjoyment because the guy has to take lessons and become good at tennis. Otherwise, how's he going to enjoy the game? He can't even play the game. We're not bringing that as an argument. We are saying, no, we're talking about an expert tennis player, a person that knows how to play. You see, let's compare him. A person that knows how to play, his enjoyment is contingent. So we're talking about a person that knows how to learn. Yes, if a person doesn't know how to learn, so he's not doing the activity. Right? But we're trying to compare, once a person knows how to do the activity, assuming he gets to the point, he could do the activity, now let's compare the enjoyments. Okay? Okay. Right? So that's what we're saying. Compare a Talmid Chacham to a professional tennis player. Okay? There's nothing lacking in the person. Okay? So we're saying that the tennis player still is lacking because he can't do his activity. He's limited. He can't do his activity constantly. He's dependent on outside conditions. Okay? Whereas the person learning is not dependent on any conditions. You just... learn anywhere. Okay? Okay. So you had a question that, but certain things, but you don't need, but you do need. You know, as a person wants to lift weights, right? So he needs the weights, right? He needs the weights. Let's say he's lifted the weights. He needs his bodily strength. There's a limitation to his bodily strength. How long can the guy, that's part of the condition. He needs to have strength. So how long can a guy lift weights? Half hour, I don't know, 45 minutes, an hour, I don't know how long, but at a certain point, his body runs out of energy. That's a condition too. Okay? But the weights is, whatever you're going to say, whatever However convenient it is, I'm not arguing, there are certain activities that are very convenient. Fine, a guy has a pool in his backyard, just goes in the backyard and goes swimming. Okay, so you can reduce the dependency, but you can never eliminate the dependency. Okay? You can never eliminate the dependency. So any activity that's dependent on outside conditions, he's limited in how much he can do it. Okay? So therefore, on that grounds alone, if we were to say that you have the opportunity to enjoy two things, learning or any other activity, tennis, to devote yourself to those two things, on the basis of this, you'd have to say that a person certainly should not engage in tennis, because there his enjoyment, if he's looking for enjoyment, enjoyment will be limited. Whereas learning, if a person involves himself in learning, his enjoyment is unlimited. A person could virtually learn as long as he's awake. Okay, as long as he has enough energy, he could continue to learn. There's nothing stopping him inherently from learning all day long. Okay? Okay, so that's point number one. That's in terms of quantitative, the learning is the greatest activity that a person could do. In terms of the quantity of time he could engage in that enjoyment, learning is the superior activity. Okay?
That may be true overall, but I'm saying if it's a nice day outside and all the conditions are perfect, then who's to say you should choose learning at that particular moment over tennis?
That's right, that's right. At any particular moment, you can't say one's better than the other, obviously. I mean, if the tennis court is right there, his tennis racket, he's got everything, he's got his partner, everything is right there, well, obviously there's no difference. For that hour, there's no difference. But we're saying overall, a person wants to establish a life plan. Where should he put his energy? Into something that 1 hour a day it's going to be convenient for him, or something that he could intrinsically do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. He's totally independent. No dependency. That's the kind of enjoyment a person's looking for. Enjoyment that he's totally independent and has no dependency. Okay? And that's really what people want. People want to be independent. Isn't that what everybody's dream is, to be independent? Well, here you have an opportunity to be totally independent. Okay? So it's assuming, of course, a person is able to enjoy both activities. If a person can't enjoy one of the activities, that's him. For him, the argument is very little value. Okay, but insofar as a person could enjoy learning, that would be, on the basis of this argument, that would be rational for him to develop that enjoyment and increase it as much as possible. Okay, because the activity lends itself to the greatest amount of time of enjoyment. Okay? It lends itself to that. Okay? Inherently. Doesn't mean that it'll always pan out. Right? But it lends itself to the greatest amount of time. Okay. Yeah?
What about the fact that, like you're saying, that a lot of physical activities, you're just going to get physically tired after a while, so therefore, how long can you do it for? But with thought as well, like there's only a certain amount of mental energy that you just, your average person has, and after a while you're just going to get...
That's right. I mean, so that's an inherent limitation. I mean, a person is only human. You see, but that's a subjective factor. You see, that's a subjective factor that depends on the person. Some people have more energy, some people have less. But regardless of how much energy he has, you see, what we're saying is that he should direct his energy to an area which lends itself to the least dependency, to the most independent activity where there's nothing that will prevent him from engaging in it. Okay, except for his own energy. If his energy runs out, obviously he can't continue learning. But then that's because he's stopping himself. Okay, but insofar as the activity is concerned, there's nobody stopping him from doing that.
Why should he let himself learn? If you're willing to grant that he has a limited amount of energy.
Right.
So he has 3 hours worth of energy, whatever that means.
That's right.
So why should he choose learning over?
Because it's an activity that there's nothing that will stop him in the external world. So he's always free to do it. Now, it's granted he can only do it for 3 hours a day. Okay, but those 3 hours, he won't be stopped. Whereas the person puts his energy in tennis, let's say he has enough energy to play tennis for 3 hours. It may rain that day. The rain won't stop him from learning. Okay, so if a person wants to be rational about how he expends his energy, he should direct his energy in this area. He has the greatest probability of satisfaction and the least probability of frustration. Very, very few times do you ever hear a person's frustrated that he can't learn. You see, the frustration is only because maybe he can't learn internally or something's stopping him. But in terms of externals, can't learn, why not? Yeah.
You're not picking up the point yet then with if you have a perfect sunny day, you got 3 hours, perfect day to play tennis, everything's taken care of.
That's right.
You can either play tennis or learn. You're not.
But that was Yehuda's question.
And you're, okay.
No, so what I'm saying is we can't base an argument on one day. We have to base an argument on the nature of the activity. A particular day, obviously, will be a very good day for playing tennis all day, but not because of the nature of activity. The nature of the activity is one that it's tenuous. We don't know if today's going to turn out right. It's dependent on the day. The fact that there are certain days that you could play, yeah, but there are certain days you can't play. So a rational person is going to take into consideration that eventuality. I'm not going to say, well, there's going to be one day that I could play. Yes, okay, and the rest of your life you'd be miserable. I mean, that's not the way to approach a decision. You have to approach a decision based on the nature of the activity overall. Okay, so that's the first factor. All right. So, I guess we could really stop here because based on this, right, it would seem that it is rational to choose learning. Right? If I give you, that's the question I asked you to begin with, right? You have two activities you can enjoy equally. Right? One you can do 1 hour a day and one 10 hours a day. Which one do you choose? Obviously, anybody in the right mind would say, well, I'd take the thing that that I could most probably do 10 hours a day rather than something that is more probable I can only do 1 hour a day. Right? So therefore, rationally, a person should put his energy in this area. So we could really stop here.
What about lining up different endurance?
Yes. Yeah.
So you can say you're going to eat for half an hour, but you can eat and play tennis for another half hour.
Right.
If you sit and line them all up.
You could do if it's sunny outside. Right? You're not increasing the odds of tennis being better because of the fact that you ate before. Right? You can line up a lot of things, but if these conditions aren't right, none of those things will work out. Right? All you can do is improve your... Yeah, you can improve your odds. You can improve your odds. You can do a lot of things. Well, that's what people do. They have tennis courts in the backyard. They have swimming pools in their house. They're improving their odds. You say, but why go to the trouble? You have something that you could do just like this? You don't need any of those things. Right? You don't have to worry about the pool breaking down. You don't have to spend money on the pool. All of these things. You don't have to worry about all your neighbors coming over to swim in your pool. You sit in your living room. You can enjoy yourself. Okay? So you're eliminating the outside world. That's a big plus. All these plans are very good until you try to implement them. Once you implement it, you realize, not so easy. I'm going to line up all these pleasures and none of them work out. And I don't want to do half of those things. Today I don't want to play tennis. I want to eat. Yeah.
When you were saying for I think it was lifting weights, that there's certain limitations because you need recovery. You can only do it for so long.
Right.
Well, for learning too, don't you have the limitations just of a physical body limits you in a certain sense?
Right.
And so if you have to do certain things to maintain your body, wouldn't it make sense to do those things in an enjoyable way?
Right.
Rather than just trying to get through them and get back to learning. Could you say that if you have to do it anyways?
If you have to do it anyways.
It makes
certain
sense
things you have
to
do
it
for
in
the
an
body.
Enjoyable. Yeah, I need
yes.
to eat, so wouldn't it be better for me to eat something I enjoy than to just cram in whatever
that's for sure.
tasteless energy giving substance I can?
That's for sure. Yeah, that definitely would be the right thing to do. Right. We're just discussing here, you see, what we're trying to do is isolate activity. Take them in a vacuum and say, let's just analyze this thing in isolation. Okay, now you're right. We have to, once we have the knowledge, then we have to see how to apply it. Now, if a person will say, well, I'm just going to, I see this is the greatest pleasure, I'm going to learn 12 hours a day, I'm not going to do anything else, that may be the worst thing for that person because he can't do it. Okay, maybe right now he can only learn a half hour a day. Okay, and slowly build up. Or maybe that's his limit, which is fine. Which is fine, but still it's rational for him to do it because that half hour, he's guaranteed. Why should I give up a pleasure that I know is a guaranteed pleasure, even if it's a half hour a day? It wouldn't make any sense. Every other pleasure is not guaranteed. Might as well have a guaranteed pleasure. Okay? So it's not really, it's not really important how long the man learns. It's the idea that you're an independent actor with regard to this enjoyment. Yeah?
Let's say now that learning, true that it quantitatively you will be able to engage it in the best possible way.
Yeah.
Let's say now the enjoyment itself is just nothing good.
You don't enjoy it.
Okay.
Let's say a person doesn't enjoy
physical's
it.
Great.
Physical's great. He enjoys the physical much more. That's right. So then he has to take that in consideration. He would have to take that in consideration. In other words, if he could determine that learning is something that he will never develop a taste for, he simply hates it for some reason. He's simply, it's the worst thing possible. He has no enjoyment. On the contrary, it's a complete torture. Right? And he's convinced that he'll never enjoy it. Okay? So what can we do? I mean, so then that means that this enjoyment he can't partake of. He may have to settle, you see, for enjoying the inferior enjoyments. And as he would have to settle to have a life that his enjoyments are always uncertain. He'd have a life of uncertain enjoyment. But that's the best he could do. He'd have a life where he indulges in enjoyments that very often he has frustration, don't work out, the physical world doesn't, the conditions aren't ripe, so he can't get the enjoyments that he wants. But whatever, he has to be satisfied with that. So each person has to make the best with what they have. That's true. But that doesn't change the reality. You see, the fact is, still, when he gets to the tennis court, if it's raining, he's going to be frustrated. Okay? That's all we're saying. But objectively, if you choose those enjoyments, whether you should choose them, I mean, they may be your own choice. But if you do choose them, you're always going to be limited by this factor. Okay? It's impossible not to. And that's why people spend a lot of money to try to work things out, that they eliminate, that they try to reduce the factors. You make indoor tennis courts. Why are they doing it? Because they realize that there's contingencies. So if you make an indoor tennis court, you eliminate one of the factors. Okay.
So that's because they enjoy the physical more than the mental. So that makes sense to them, right?
That's right. That makes sense. That's right. But they still are engaging in it, and they still have to suffer the effects of the physical world. Doesn't change that fact. Okay, it's just for them, it's rational to do. That is true. Okay, so that's argument number one. Okay. Now you have argument number two, which is an interesting argument. Okay, it's more in terms of the qualitative. Okay, which enjoyment is, could we show, is there an argument to show that one enjoyment, forget about how long you can do the enjoyment, forget about the time factor, but for every second that you're doing it, could we show that one enjoyment inherently is more pleasurable than another? You know, as if I'm going to have two enjoyments, each for 10 minutes. Could I show that during those 10 minutes, one enjoyment will be superior in terms of how pleasurable it is than another enjoyment? Okay, qualitatively, you show the quality of the enjoyment is better. That's the question. Okay? So there is an argument to show that. Okay, and I'll tell you the argument and you'll tell me what you think. Okay? I don't want to be too confident because, you know, you never know what happens in the fray. Okay? But here's the argument. Okay. The argument is, let's say you have two people sitting in a base medrash, okay, and you have a person, an intruder, a interloper, walks, right? That's a good word, right? Interloper walks through the front door, right? Okay, and one of the people sitting there notices him. Hey, ooh, what are you doing, right? The other guy is learning and doesn't flinch. He didn't even notice somebody walked in. He's lost in thought. Okay? So which person would you say is more involved in thinking? Is more deeply involved in thought? The person that noticed the interloper or the person that was oblivious?
Oblivious.
Well, I hope you get the right answer, because I can't go any further. Okay, oblivious. Good. Good answer. Who gave that answer? Yes, absolutely. You are right, my friend. You are right. Okay? So the guy that was totally oblivious, that did not notice the interloper, okay, I think we can all agree, is more deeply in thought than the other guy that noticed, right? Okay. Now, why is he more deeply in thought? Because you'll say, well, his attention was all focused on thought. There was no attention left, right? There was no mental energy left to wander around and think what's going on here. Now, you see a guy looking around the room, you know he's not totally focused on the thinking. Part of his mental attention is diverted. Okay, so his mental energy is diverted. Okay. Now, let's say I were to ask you, assuming these two guys are equal, exactly equal, their minds, everything about them is totally equal. Okay? As a matter of fact, let's say it was the same person, but at two different times. Okay, the same man, but it was two different days. Monday, he didn't notice the interloper. Tuesday, he noticed him. Right? So he's the same person, same type of enjoyment. Okay? If I ask you which day would you say the man enjoyed the learning more? Would you say on the day where he noticed the interloper or the day where he didn't notice the interloper? Which day would his enjoyment be greater? When he was more involved in thinking or less?
More involved.
What's that?
More involved.
More involved in thinking, right? Why? Why would you say his enjoyment is greater? The more involvement the man has in the activity, why would you say his enjoyment is greater? Okay, why would you say that?
More of his energies are...
Yes.
Obviously engrossed.
Engrossed in the thinking. Okay, because what's the definition of enjoyment? What is enjoyment? Enjoyment is the satisfaction of a drive. That's what enjoyment is. I have a drive. My energy is driving towards an aim. And if I satisfy that energy, I get enjoyment. Right? Now, the more drive I have, the more energy, the more enjoyment. Okay? And I can give you a very simple example to show you that. Because let's say you have a football game. Okay? Where the winning team, the team wins, and the players are excited and jumping and celebrating. Right? And you see one guy, one of the players... doesn't look so excited. He's walking around. He's not really too phased. He's pretty indifferent. Okay? So the coach notices this. I mean, I think that it would bother the coach. He'd say, hey, why aren't you celebrating? You see? Now, what would be bothering him? I think what would be bothering him is because he knows one thing, that the enjoyment that the person gets is proportionate to his drive, to his energy that he had to attain that goal. So when he sees a person celebrating tremendously, he knows that that player really desired to win. And if he sees a player not so happy, not such celebration, he knows that he must not have desired to win. Because if he desired to win, it's impossible that he'd control himself. He would have to experience pleasure because he'd have the satisfaction of a drive. You see? So therefore, the definition of pleasure is the satisfaction of the drive, and the stronger the drive, the greater the pleasure. Okay? So if my drive is not really that, it's nice to win, but not so. It means that my drive wasn't that great. If this was the thing that I've been waiting for years, all of my energy is in this, and I get it, the pleasure has to be immense. Okay? Okay. So therefore, you could see that a person that's more involved in the learning has more drive and more energy into the learning has to get greater pleasure. Whereas if the person's half into the learning and he's looking around and he's not really fully in it, so when he gets an idea, he'll enjoy it, but he won't get the same kind of excitement, okay, because he doesn't have the same drive, all right? Okay, so let's take, so we've established that the pleasure, the quality of the pleasure, the intensity of pleasure is proportional to the drive. Okay. Let me give you now another scenario. Okay? Okay? Playing, watching a ball game. Baseball game. Right? And there's a fly ball goes out into whatever, center field, okay? Or I guess I should say, let's see, what's between center and right? What do they call it? Right center, center right?
Right
center, okay? Ball goes smack in the middle of the center fielder and the right guy, the right fielder, okay? So what happens? So each guy is running for the ball, right? I mean, they're really running unbelievably and trying to catch that ball, right? And what happens? They smash into each other. Okay, I mean, I think it's happened. I think I've seen it where guys are in the hospital. Like, right, wasn't there a case where two guys had a concussion, right? I mean, recently, and they were in the hospital? Come on. I mean, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure.
A few years ago.
Right, wasn't there, right?
Johnny Damon and someone else.
Yeah. See, yeah, right. And the guy was in the hospital. I mean, he was seriously injured. Right, am I right?
I think so.
Okay, very good.
Maybe he had a concussion.
Whatever. You know, they really... Right? Okay. Now, what did that show? That's what I want to know. What did that show? What did that thing show? That showed, right, that each person was so involved in what he was doing, so engaged, all of his energy was so engaged that he was like the guy in the base measures. He didn't notice that there's another guy running at it, right? He didn't take any notice. There was no energy left in that person to notice his surroundings and say, whoa, one second, let's coordinate here, right? Because had he had some energy left, had he not been totally absorbed in what he was doing, he would have noticed the other guy's running at him, whatever, 20 miles an hour, they're going to collide and get killed, right? So there was no energy left, okay? So these two guys were like the guys in the base medrash, right? In which case, right, had they not collided, they would have had the greatest possible enjoyment. Whoever caught that ball would have gotten the greatest possible enjoyment because all of his energy was directed in that action and there was not 1 ounce of energy that was lost in looking around. Correct? Okay. But you understand very well that this is an impossible situation. You cannot continue to conduct baseball along these lines. You can't have players that are going to focus every ounce of energy to their action. They must, of necessity, divert some of their energy to looking out on what's going on here. Otherwise, you're going to have your players are all be in the hospital. Right? So, therefore, you could see clearly that any person that's deriving his enjoyment from a physical activity can't have the total pleasure. Has to be reduced qualitatively. His enjoyment of that activity cannot be on a par with the guy in the base measures. It's an impossibility, unless he's going to end up in the hospital every day. Right? Because he cannot direct all of his energy to the thing he wants to do, to that goal. He must divert some of the energy to watch and see who else is walking around. If he doesn't do that, he's in trouble. So he's got to do that. And now once he does that, he's reducing his enjoyment because the amount of energy he's utilizing is reduced. So when he makes that play, his enjoyment's reduced. Yeah.
I don't understand why just because complete energy is invested in this thing that it's necessarily more pleasure.
That's what I asked you before. You said yes. You shook your head. I saw you shaking your head. Yep. I agree.
No,
you did. Somebody get to replay the camera. Didn't we go through this?
Those two baseball players.
Believe me, this chair has been well rehearsed. I do everything in order. I get the guys to shake their heads first, then I give the punchline. This is why I do this.
Players are running.
I asked you. Forget about those guys. Let's go back to the base measures, okay? Let's go in order. The base measures. You have two guys sitting there, right? Right. You're the one that answered the question. I said, who enjoys the learning more? Oh, sorry. You know, you're in line. That's why you didn't answer. But I didn't hear you object. No objection. I didn't hear you go like this. Nothing. You sat there, looked like you were agreeing with everything he said. Okay? So now it comes to the baseball. All of a sudden, you disagree. What happened? I don't get it.
All their energy was involved in going to catch that baseball. Were they?
That's right.
Did they have pleasure as they were running to go get it?
Whatever.
What?
They like it.
No, but...
Well, whatever the pleasure is, what's the pleasure of baseball? They're out there, they must enjoy it.
If they didn't catch the baseball, they didn't get the pleasure, even
okay.
though all their energy was involved in it. So same thing.
Well, obviously, right. If they're going to run and miss the ball, Not going to be too much fun.
So just because all you
but I'm asking, ideal case. One guy, they didn't collide. Okay, they didn't collide because, not because of anything on their part. They didn't know the other guy was there, but they didn't happen to collide. And one guy caught the ball, right? So I asked you, wouldn't he get a tremendous enjoyment? He caught the ball, everything he's striving for. All his energy is focused on catching that ball to the point that he doesn't even know what's around him. And now he accomplishes his task. That's, he has to satisfy his energy, right? His energy will be satisfied because that's what his drive was to catch the ball, and he caught it. So that's enjoyment, right? Okay. Right? Okay, now, when he gets that enjoyment, he's going to get the ultimate enjoyment because all of his energy is into it, just like the guy learning. Right? Now, if he had less energy, he'd have to have less enjoyment. Right? Now, baseball dictates, the rules of the game dictate that the man did really the wrong thing. He had to look at the other guy. He was cheating. You are not allowed to invest all of you, to direct all your energy to catching the ball. You're not allowed to do that because that's the game is. You got to look around, right? So inherent in the game is you have to reduce your energy, that you're focused to that thing. So you have to have less pleasure. You get.
I think it's kind of an unfair case just because...
Unfair? How can you say unfair? Yes, yes.
Two things. First of all, it's an exception where there's two guys running at each other, you know? But also, perfectly timed, but also...
What can I do?
Maybe,
I didn't make up the case.
I'm saying you could argue that's not playing baseball. Baseball is having the
that's
awareness
right.
of other players.
Absolutely.
So he's engaged, so he's still fully... So. Unless he makes a catch, right? A normal catch. Yeah. So even being aware, he's fully engaging in what
right.
he wants to engage.
That's right. So you said it. I agree with you. You said, now let's just listen to what you said.
Okay.
You said that's part of playing baseball, that you
right.
have to look out for the other guys, right?
Right.
That's part of the game. If you
right.
don't do that, you're doing something wrong. The game necessitates that you look at the other guys.
Right.
Right. Okay. Now I'm asking from a psychological standpoint, okay?
Right.
If I gave you a choice psychologically, you wanted to get the ultimate pleasure, would you rather that the game would be designed in a way that I wouldn't have to look at the other guy, that I could be oblivious, and somehow I'd be guaranteed not to hit him? Wouldn't that be psychologically superior?
Not really.
Not really? Well, my friend, I can prove to you to be psychologically superior because these two guys did it. Why did they do it? They did it because they forgot. They were so wrapped up in catching that ball, every ounce of energy, that they forgot, hey, I got to look out for that guy. You see, it was a mistake. Why was it a mistake? It was a mistake because the desire to do that got the better of them. You see, so it means the natural desire of man is to be totally involved. And he has to check himself and remember, hey, well, pull back. You see, now when he checks himself, he's going against his natural energy. Going against the cycle. What the psyche wants is total involvement. You see? And now when he has to, now he's really controlling himself. He says, don't do that again. You make sure that you don't get too involved. You see? That's what the game demands, like you said. So therefore, you see, inherent in the game is you cannot have the ultimate enjoyment. It's impossible. You can't have the same level of enjoyment. Let's put it this way. You cannot get the same level of enjoyment as the guy sitting in the base medrash because that guy doesn't have to worry about the other guy running into him. That guy could be oblivious and direct all of his energy. In his game, you see, in the game he's playing, it's mental. So he doesn't have to worry about anybody else. He could just focus on the game. The guy playing baseball, you see, it's true, that's part of baseball, focusing on the other guy, but that's not the enjoyment. You see, you're focusing on the other guy because you don't want to get a concussion. You see, not because inherently, hey, that's part of the enjoyment, let me see where that guy is. Who cares where that guy is? Get out of my way. Right? So that's the thing.
Isn't that just one particular sport? Why do we move away from our tennis example?
Okay, let's look at tennis. Let's look at tennis, right? Okay, I, you know, what can I do? I mean, there was no examples in tennis. But you can see that tennis is the same exact thing. When a guy's playing tennis, right, he has to keep a certain amount of energy. He's got to... make sure that, right, his surroundings. He's got to watch his surroundings. I mean, how in particular, I don't know. I'm not such a big
fan. You got to watch your boundaries.
Yeah, who knows, whatever. Yeah, I mean, you're going to tell me anything the guy's watching, that's part of the enjoyment. You know, I don't know enough about tennis. But all I'm telling you is, you can see from this example, you see, that if you're operating in the physical world, You can't let yourself go. You can't be oblivious. It's not possible. Not possible. The guy's on a ski slope. He's oblivious. He's smashing into a tree. I mean, it's not possible. You see, that's part of the activity. And it's not necessarily the enjoyment, but it's something a guy has to look out for. You see, he can't be oblivious again.
You're saying oblivious. Do you mean kind of like to be wholly immersed in the activity? Wholly immersed. And like wholly immersed. You're wholly immersed in learning, like you can do that and there's no real worry versus any physical activity.
That's right. Exactly. Wholly immersed. They said, I mean, I don't know if it's a story I heard from high school, but Rav Chaim Brisk, when he had to go for an operation, so they didn't have, you know, what do you call that stuff?
Anesthesia.
So he says, okay, let me just get into a problem. Let me think about a problem, and you can do the operation. So it means the guy can get so involved, he doesn't feel pain. He's totally oblivious. You see? Good to have these examples. These examples. But anyways, right? But you can see the point. Right? You can see the point. You could get so involved that you don't, you lose sense of your surroundings. But that's not possible. It's the only place that's possible is with learning. Yeah.
I've had a look, say, watching TV.
Watching TV, yeah. Okay.
You can get totally lost watching two guys play baseball.
That's true.
It's oblivious to everybody. Right. Someone could walk in front of the TV, you could not even be paying attention.
Well, I think you would notice if somebody walked in front of the TV, right?
You did get away.
I mean, unless you weren't that into the game.
I mean, if you're really engrossed in it, I mean...
If the TV goes off? What about if the TV goes off? You go, oh.
If it did, I mean,
no, it's not possible because that's, you know, that's the enjoyment. The enjoyment is to see the picture, right?
So no, I know, but I'm saying the picture's on, you're watching, you're totally engrossed. And
somebody comes in front of me, you're going to notice the guy, right? Because
okay, if someone comes and you're totally engrossed in learning and hits you on the head, you're going to notice it too.
No, no, that's not inherent.
That's your point.
The rabbi just had it.
I mean, are you saying that's not, that there is such a level?
What's that? No, no, if the guy hits you on the head, I agree. But here, the guy's not hitting you in the head. He's just standing there. You're going to notice him.
The guy's just, I mean, what about commercial?
Okay. So what you're saying is like this. Okay. So what you're saying is, okay, so let's take up your case. I mean, I agree. Okay, I'm willing
there's no one there.
Okay, I agree. I'm willing to think about this. Okay, so what you're saying is like this, that I'm really, you know, I am presenting you with an argument because, which is, you'll agree is true, because... In the physical, the person's functioning in the physical world, he's active. You see, he's active, so when a person's active, he has to know what he's doing, right? But you'll say, well, let's pick something that you're passive. You see, you're watching TV, right? And further, I could bolster your argument further. I mean, let's say the guy's, tennis. So we say if it rains outside. Okay, so I'm going to sit in front of a TV, and... And I'll watch games from, I have cable, I'll watch games from all over the world. If it's raining in one place, I switch the channel, I'll watch a tennis match somewhere else, right? The guy just sits in front of the TV 24 hours a day, he could just watch constant tennis. So, and he doesn't have to worry about oblivion, you know, he doesn't have to worry about watching people, right? Watching the situation. So the person could put all his energy into that. And he doesn't have to worry about physical conditions. He just has to worry that the TV stays on. As long as the TV stays on, the guy could sit in front of the TV 24 hours a day, just enjoy himself. Okay? So what do you say? Right? And as everything I've said so far, a person could bring up TV and get rid of all the arguments. So TV, you don't have to go. You don't need a tennis racket. You don't need the tennis balls. You don't have to go to the tennis court. You don't have to worry that it's a partner. You just watch somebody else play tennis. Right? And you have the tennis channel where they have 10 million tennis games all over the world. So a guy can do that all day. And he's not going to get tired out from that. Right? Okay, so what's wrong with that? Guy, it's pure enjoyment. Yeah?
Is it possible to have an activity that one enjoys viewing more than one would enjoy actually doing?
Okay. That's right. Is it possible? That's very good.
That
very good. I'm happy you came.
That wasn't the big thing.
What's that?
That wasn't the big thing.
Okay, well, let's just...
Then I can say that about learning, too.
What could you say about learning?
I could say I enjoy this activity more than learning.
No. Nobody's going to enjoy watching somebody else learn.
Okay.
Right? Now, why will somebody enjoy watching somebody else play tennis?
No,
if the person is a tennis lover...
Your whole point was the guy who's learning, he can put all his energies into it.
That's
to
right.
The point where there's no distractions.
That's right, exactly.
So I'm saying you can do the same thing to watching videos.
Okay,
no.
Okay, okay.
I mean,
okay, so
no?
1 second. So I'm building up your case. Okay. Let's just build up your case. Let's give you case. I mean, why should we limit your question? You have a very good question. Let's build it up. Okay? So not only when a guy's watching TV... Right. Not only can he, I won't even bring up a guy will walk in front of your TV. Forget about that. Okay, I'll grant you everything. You're sitting in front of the TV watching tennis. You're oblivious. It's like when the kids are watching TV, right, and the parents come in the room. Hello, hello. They're oblivious, right? The parent says to the kid, if you could be in the best medrash like this, if you were as interested in learning as TV, you'd be a gadolador, right? The kids are in front of the TV, they don't notice anything. Okay, so you're right. Okay, and not only that, I'm building up a case. It's just as good as learning. Why? Because you could be totally absorbed, right? And you could do it all the time. There's always something on TV. There's always a tennis match. Okay, you're not limited in place. You don't have to go to that tennis court. You're watching somebody else all over the world, right? So I'm building up your thing. So TV, it would seem, is just as good as learning. Okay.
Because there's no one enjoyment of watching TV. I mean, whatever you're watching and you're enjoying, it's because you have a certain drive for that thing.
Right.
But it's never going to be that you're satisfying that drive completely when you're doing it through watching someone else.
Right. So what do you do about it? Right. What do you do about it? What's your name again? I forgot.
Yona.
Yona. Right. What do you do about it? So Yona asked your question. I mean, I think it's a fair question. I don't say that there's no answer to it, but Yona asks your question. He says, is there anybody that enjoys... Well, how'd you put it again? You put it very well.
Is there anyone who enjoys watching the activity more than doing it themselves? Or basically, can voyeurism ever beat the activity itself?
Right. In other words, could a person enjoy watching an activity more than doing the activity itself? That's his question. So what's the basis of his question? What's he asking you essentially? Essentially what he's asking you is, why is a man watching tennis on TV? Why would a person do that? Why would he watch tennis on TV? Obviously, he likes tennis. He loves the game. He has an interest in the game. He's not a guy like me who doesn't know from tennis from a hole in the wall. Right? He's a guy that really likes tennis. If he's watching all day, I mean, he's somebody that loves tennis, right? So his question is, if that's the case... Is there anybody that likes watching tennis more than playing? In other words, if the man likes tennis, he'd want to play. What's he doing sitting in front of a TV watching it? In other words, what he's asking you is that the pleasure that you chose... Now, maybe you could find another example. Okay, I'm not saying there's no other example. But he's saying that the pleasure that you chose is a substitute pleasure. It's not a real enjoyment. That's not a real enjoyment. That's a vicarious enjoyment. You chose a vicarious enjoyment.
So?
Wow. Does a person want to spend his life doing vicarious enjoyments? Or do they want real enjoyments? Who wants a vicarious enjoyment? Okay? Let me just tell you what I was... Before... I mean, that's a very good point. I think it's a very good point. I was thinking of another point, which I think is along the same line. And basically, what I was thinking of when you asked me that question, actually, I thought of this question before at home, and I thought it was a very good question. I was thinking about it, and that's why I am able to answer you, because I thought of an answer. Okay, so you let me know what you think. Okay? Basically, what I thought to myself was, when that question occurred to me, what I thought to myself is, basically, oh, are we over? Is somebody else? Okay. Let me just
do
this. What? We're good? Isn't there another cheer? Okay. Basically, what you are doing is, you see, the reason why you have that question and the reason why it sounds like it's going to be really a breakdown the whole thing, right, the whole edifice, the reason why that question works or appears to work is because what you're doing is you're taking a physical activity and you're converting it into mental. See, that's what you're doing. You're taking tennis, the game of tennis. Our whole argument is there's two categories. There's physical and mental. And we're saying physical has all these problems. Mental has no problems because you're independent. What you're doing is you're taking an activity from the physical side, tennis, and you're trying to convert it into mental. You're trying to say, hey, I'll sit in front of the TV. That's basically going inside my mind. All the enjoyment is happening in my mind. I'm not doing anything. I'm watching somebody else. And I'm partaking of the enjoyment mentally. You see? So you're taking something that's really a physical enjoyment and you're trying to convert it into mental. And that's why it looks like it works, because you go, hey, I could sit in front of the TV. He doesn't have to worry. Nobody's going to bother him. So it's almost internal. It's almost going on inside of his mind. You see? So that's the problem with the question. You see? Because really the activity is not mental. The enjoyment, it's a physical enjoyment. You're trying to make it mental, but by making it mental, you're stripping it of its enjoyments. Nobody really gets that enjoyment. If you want to talk about mental enjoyment, you have to talk about learning. If you want to talk about a physical enjoyment, talk about the physical. But don't take a physical enjoyment and try to convert it into the mental. It doesn't work because of his question, which is very good. Because a person that loves tennis doesn't really love sitting and watching. He loves playing. Otherwise, he doesn't love tennis. He wouldn't be watching. You see, the love is really of the game. The game is playing. He's watching because simply he's bored with his life. He can't get out there and play. So he sits back and does nothing and watches tennis, and he gets a small trickle of enjoyment. You see, but it's impossible that he's enjoying his life, you see, because of his question. Because anybody that enjoys something, it's not possible you enjoy watching it more than doing it. It's not possible. It's just not possible. Very good. Very good. Right? You see the thing?
No,
think about it. Think about it. Yeah.
You're saying that pleasure, the amount of pleasure in your mind, because the satisfaction of the drive is the pleasure.
Yes.
Right? So basically you're assuming that if all of
back
these drives are equal in a person,
that's right,
then the one that you could put all of your energy into, the pleasure is going to be greater.
Well, is that what we're saying? Say that again.
You're saying assuming that everyone, you know, the drives, all the different drives that you have are equal, then the one that you could put the most amount of energy into and satisfaction that drive, you're going to be able to create the most pleasure.
Well, I'm saying for any given drive, I don't know if I would universalize to that extent. I would say for any given drive, any given enjoyment, the greater amount of energy that I can devote to that thing and satisfy, the greater will be the enjoyment. In other words, take any drive to play football. The guy who's more into the football will get the greater satisfaction. The guy who's less into the football will get less satisfaction. Learning. The guy who's more into learning will get more satisfaction, because the enjoyment is, by definition, satisfaction of energy. So the more energy, the more satisfaction, the more pleasure. See, that's all I'm saying. So I'm saying, if you want to choose an area where it has the potential for the greatest qualitative enjoyment, you see, the greatest total enjoyment, it could only be in learning. If you choose another area, you choose basketball, your enjoyment has to be partial. You cannot have total enjoyment in, even if your area, that's your thing, your love is basketball, you cannot totally satisfy that love by playing basketball. You see, that's what the example of the baseball shows. That the baseball player who loves baseball and that's all of his energy is in that area, he could not totally satisfy his energy through baseball. Intrinsically. If he does, he's putting himself in personal danger because he's going to be oblivious. Whereas the guy whose energy is in learning, he could satisfy all of his drive. Okay, so therefore I say, let's say there is a person that equally could decide, he decides at the beginning of his life, he has a choice. Equally, he could put all his energy and become a lover of baseball, or he could put all his energy and become a lover of wisdom. Okay? And he has equal choice to put all his energy in one of those two areas. So I say, based on this argument, he should put it into the love of wisdom, because that's an area where he could totally satisfy the energy. Whereas in the other area, he could only get partial satisfaction. Okay? Okay, so I guess let's stop here. Unless you have any other questions.
That last argument, I'm purely psychological enjoyment, right? You have to go to the other end. Meaning, let's say you were watching a sports game, but you were watching a comedy or like some kind of.
But no, his question about the TV?
So that wouldn't work for that.
For what?
You're trying to watch, you're not watching on Like, you're not watching sports on TV. If you're watching like a drama or a comedy, right? It's like a psychological enjoyment.
A comedy?
Not kind of a physical enjoyment.
Listening to jokes.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're listening to jokes. Okay, so there's an enjoyment in listening to jokes. Right, okay. So you're saying a person who's listening to jokes, that's a mental enjoyment. Yeah, that's a mental enjoyment. That's right. So he could put all his energy into listening to jokes. That's right. That's correct. So that mental enjoyment, so on those grounds, he'd be equal. We'd have to have we'd have to have something else. Right. In terms of listening to jokes, that's right. That would be totally mental. He'd just be listening to jokes. He could totally focus on listening to the joke. That's right. He could put all his energy into that. That's exactly right. That's mental. That's mental. Anything that's mental, he can put all his energy into. That's right. On those grounds, you're right. You're right. I mean, if that's your question, then you're absolutely right. In other words, that's very good. Forget about the TV. Forget about the spectator. Let's say, listening to jokes. A man is listening to jokes all day long, and he loves jokes. So on this argument, he could get 100% of his enjoyment, because it's a mental thing. He's going over jokes in his mind, listening to jokes all day long in his mind. Yeah. The question is, I mean, we have to examine that a little further. But on those grounds alone, yes, absolutely. Anything that's mental, he could be totally absorbed in. That's right, absolutely, 100%. You see, we're not arguing based on that, but we're just saying, in your example, you see, I have to look at the jokes, but in your example, you see, it's not something you could say that the man really would enjoy, ultimately, because it's watching something that really involves doing. Okay, but we could go further tomorrow, next week. If you want, we could, if you have further, you want to go into, well, actually, there's more to this year, so I didn't even have a few more things to hit you with, so. Okay, so we'll continue next week, okay?